change things up a little bit this morning. In the order of things, and I thought, you know, this morning, as we leave, I want us to leave celebrating. And with our thoughts on the finished work of Jesus, on what he has brought to us. And so rather than, you know, get our focus on the prayer requests and that as we leave, I thought, let's do that now. We just sang a song, My Redeemer Lives. I know he rescued my soul. I know he conquered the grave. And so as we pray for these requests that have been brought to us, let's remember that. And I just ask you to just extend your hands forth and just, you know, the Spirit of the living God is in you. And we're just going to pray over these requests. And Lord, we come before you. We thank you because of Jesus. We can boldly come before your throne of grace. Father, we ask for your grace, your ability to work and quicken these people that have brought these requests for us. Quicken their immortal bodies and bring health and wholeness, Jesus, by your stripes that we're oh so well aware of this morning. We are healed. Father, for those other requests, for provision, for needs, for all that is mentioned in there, you are the I am to every one of them. And again, Father, we give you all the praise and the glory in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And all the saints of God said, amen. So be it. Amen. Thank you for that. Whoops, I think I just knocked. Yep. Sure, that's already there. We prayed for him. Yes. So we're praying for all of them. So we are at Easter Sunday because there was a week, there was a life before this. And Jesus had been betrayed, and he had been denied by friends, betrayed by friends. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was scourged and mocked and sentenced. They walked him with the cross on his back to the Mount of the Skull outside the city gates. And the Roman soldiers, they nailed him to a cross. And with a crown of thorns piercing the flesh on his head, they hung a sign in three languages declaring him King of the Jews. They lifted him up upon that cross between two thieves, and they gambled for his robe at his feet. It was a long afternoon for suffering and dying. Darkness and thirst. And in all of that came forgiveness and the words of committing his spirit to the Father. And then in his last breath, a declaration. It is finished. And there, the Savior of the world died for you and me. They laid his lifeless body in a tomb, and a heavy stone was placed over the entrance. The guards stood and watched over the tomb. Jesus had been crucified. It had taken place just like he had said. But praise God, that isn't the end of the story. He is risen. And your response is?
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. Oop, there it goes. I knew it was going. He is risen indeed. And we are going to turn to the book of Luke and read, starting in verse 1, chapter 24. On the first day of the week, which is Sunday, by the way, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men clothed, clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" He's not here. And I love it. It comes with an exclamation mark. He has risen. Remember, he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified, and on the third day be risen again. And they remembered his words. We're going to quickly go over to John chapter 20, starting in verse 11. It says, I think I have a picture there. Oh, it's a little dark on the screen. It's 20, starting verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And we're going to stop there, and we're going to go back to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to start in verse 13. Oops. Forgot to put the scripture up there for you. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, said to them, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "How about Jesus of Nazareth?" they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." And then they go on to talk more, and down in verse 25, Jesus says to them, love this, "How foolish are you? And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer all these things and then enter into his glory?" And he began to tell them about Moses and all the prophets. And they walked along, and he stayed with them for a meal. And they still don't know who he is. And as he broke bread, it says, and gave thanks, it came to them who he was. Praise God. So what do all of these stories have in common other than people meeting Jesus? Excuse me, I have to grab a Kleenex. None of them recognized who he was. Something had happened in the grave. And in fact, the scripture in on the road to Emmaus, it says that they were kept from recognizing him. It comes with the understanding also that their intellect, their own thoughts kept them from understanding. Again, you know, Mary was looking right at Jesus but didn't know him as the gardener until he said, "Mary." All of a sudden, they recognize Jesus has been transformed. He is no longer just man, but he's glorified. He walks in the Father's promise. He walks in the glory of the Lord. He is as he should be. He's transformed, and their eyes are open, and they saw him alive and well. New garments were on him, new life. He was victorious. He is incorruptible, impervious to death. He is life, the firstborn of many brothers. That's according to Romans 8:29. Yeah, I love Ralph's message last week. It's titled, How Much More? You see, Jesus didn't merely die on the cross for our sins and be put in the grave and come alive, and now we're sin free. There's so much more. He has clothed us in new life. He has the victory. He's the firstborn of us, and he is the garment of new life. He is the garment of salvation. How many like new clothes? You know, there's something about getting a new outfit, and when it all fits again, you kind of feel good. You look good. You know you look good. And it shows. It does something to elevate us. It kind of elevates our status, if I can put it that way. And in the world, if you're wearing the designer, whoever the designer is of the day, that's an elevated status. I watch a show called Project Runway, where there's all these new designers, you know, and I mean, trust me, it's just like, that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But there are some good things that come out of it. And that's the avant-garde stuff they said. I don't know who wears avant-garde, but not me. I'm not brave enough. But what happens when you watch these models put on these garments and strut the one way? And it's interesting because there's judges who are watching. And they often say, I know that was a good outfit because you could tell the model loved it. They walk differently. They show the garment differently. And it shows us just what happens when we are garmented in something that makes us feel good. I was talking with a friend of mine, Vincella. And Vincella was raised in Jamaica. And so we were talking about coming up Easter. And I said, Vincella, did your family do anything, special for Easter? Was there any traditions or whatever? Now, she, like I said, she was raised in Jamaica. And she says, well, we always made this special bread, and she had a name for it. To me, it would be similar to a hot cross bun, a little loaf full of fruits and stuff. And she says, and our mom would pack it up, and we'd go to church on Good Friday, and she'd take those little buns for us because we were in church for 3 hours. Guaranteed. It was 3 hours, maybe longer. And we had the little buns came along, you know, came out when the children are getting, you know, a little restless or whatever, a little snack, and kind of settle them down. And she said, and then we go home. But she said, on Easter Sunday, we all had a brand new outfit. Mom had been sewing with the brand new outfit. And she's back then, she's, you know, there was gloves and hats too. But going to church in this brand new outfit, and everybody came in. That was the whole congregation were in their brand new outfits, clothed in the new. And that's where we are with Jesus. Jesus was raised from the dead, and we are now clothed in the new. The grave clothes were left behind in the grave. And for us, this morning, I want to look at the Easter outfit, the new outfit that we have been given. I'm going to take you back to, remember when Jesus was in the temple in Galilee, and he was asked to read from the scroll, and he was given the scripture from Isaiah 61. And so, I think I put it up here, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. I mean, this is where he reads. He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, or it could also be give sight to the blind, is that a reference to that as well, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's where he ends. But that scripture goes on, and we're going to read on, because that was his assigned scripture, okay? That was what he was assigned to read. So as we read on in Isaiah here, it says, and the day of our Lord's vengeance, and to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. Now listen to this. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Think of the crown that he wore that day. the exchange, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and listen to this, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Do you realize that you have been clothed in clothing that displays his splendor? And I'm not talking about these fibers. I'm talking about Jesus. In verse 10 of Isaiah, it goes on to say this, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adores his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. We put on what Jesus has given us. We put on Jesus. Do you see him as a priestly garment on your head? Do you see him as jewels that you're displaying his splendor? He has clothed us. And I'm going to take a chance here. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Again, we sang that this morning. Because of the finished work of Jesus, because he rose from the dead, it's not just merely our sins are taken care of. We have new life. We've been clothed in garments of Jesus. He is our garments. I'm going to read on from Galatians, and I forgot to put this in here, I believe, just a second. Oh no, I did put it in there. This is from the Passion Translation. You have become two children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith immersed you, or you have been baptized into Christ. And now you are covered and clothed with his life. I just stop there a second. You are covered and clothed with his life. That's a great outfit. And we no longer see others in the former state. Sorry, I think. Jew nor non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because all are one through our union with Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, you are now Abraham's child and a true heir of all his blessings because of the promise God made to Abraham. What we have been clothed in is Jesus. What you have been immersed into is Jesus. One of the things that was really popular, remember those big puffy coats? You know what a puffy coat is? So all those big pockets of, and you could get swallowed up in one of those things. And that's what we have in Jesus, being swallowed up into him, like a big puffy coat, all comforted and comfortable, all wrapped around us. You have new life. He has given you new outfit. You are a new person. You have been transformed. You have new clothing. We're not dressed as the world dresses. You have new status. We don't think as the world thinks. We have been elevated into his new life. We have a transformed life. I want to go back to one of the times where Jesus is walking through the streets of Jericho and blind Bartimaeus hears him and yells out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people are going, shh, shh, shh. The world is saying, you haven't got the right to talk to God. Well, they're not seeing him as God at that point, but the master. But Jesus hears him calling and turns around and says, what do you want? Come. And blind Bartimaeus gets up. Remember, he's still blind. And he throws off his beggar's clothes. It says he throws them off. He doesn't just fold them up and lay them down. He throws that sucker off. And he gets to Jesus. And he says, I want to see. And Jesus heals him instantly, and he can see. And it says that he starts following Jesus. He starts following him down the road. And that's when we give our hearts to Jesus, what we need to be doing. We need to be focused on Jesus, following him down the road. But you know what we do? We sometimes do what Bartimaeus did not. Did I call him Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus didn't do. We run back and we pick up our grave clothes. We run back and we pick up our beggar's robes. And we put them on again. Bartimaeus didn't do that. He went after the real outfit, the real garment, the one who brings life. If we think of Bartimaeus there and we look at the contrast in the sense of the children of Israel who wandered in the desert because they were unable to get out of their head their thinking that they were slaves. They worried and they were concerned. They came out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt, the finery of Egypt, but they couldn't get past the blessing. They couldn't get into it. They couldn't put on what the Lord was giving them. And it took 40 years of wandering for that bondage to be gone. And it was the next generation that entered into the promised land. Ephesians 4, 22 and 24 tells us, and I'm not going to go there, you know the scripture, that we're to put off the old self. Put off those old beggar clothes. Get rid of the death garments. And put on the new. Put on the new that Jesus has given us. In Romans, we're going to go to Romans 13 here. I think I've got that there. Just a second. Now I'm just going to just back it up a sec here. Paul is talking to the Romans, and he's been talking to them about following Jesus, following his ways, obeying Jesus. And the laws of Moses versus the law of the Spirit. And he ends in verse 10 by saying this, if you love, you will fulfill the law. If you love, you will fulfill the law. And then he says this, now we'll look at this scripture here. I'm ahead of myself. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I only put the one up. He says, do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the day and not carousing and drunkenness, not sexual immorality and debauchery, not dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. If we're struggling with any of those things as believers, here's what he says. Don't think about it. In fact, let's look at how the Passion Translation puts it. Oops, that should not say NIV. It should say TPT, the Passion Translation. Instead, fully immerse yourself into, and I love the footnote said, to be intoxicated by the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desire. See, when we start thinking about that, when we start going back to those grave clothes, all we do is awaken those things in us. And so if we focus on Jesus, if we intoxicate ourselves with Jesus, because let me tell you, when you get in his presence, when you focus on him, when you let his wonderful, wonderful grace move in your heart and your life, you can't help but be intoxicated by him, overwhelmed, talk about him, see him everywhere, delight in him. Don't waste a moment thought on your former life. Don't go up. Don't put those grave clothes back on. When you believe that you went from darkness to light, put on that armor of light. Do you believe you moved from the dominion of darkness into that kingdom of light? If you don't, focus on what the words of the Lord say, because it's truth. And let his words overrule the lies that are there telling you otherwise. You are this new creation. You are born of the kingdom of heaven, born of the incorruptible seed of Jesus. You know what remains for us to do? Is to get dressed. To put that new life on. To put Jesus on. To be robed. Think about the prodigal son who came home. What was the first thing the father did after he hugged him and welcomed him home? He clothed him. He put sandals on his feet. He put a ring on his finger and a robe on him. He elevated his status again. He reminded him who he was. He is a son. He is my son. And that's how God sees you through the finished work of Jesus. You are his son. You are his daughter, robed in the life of Christ. You are already God's chosen one. And you know you're dearly loved. Through the new life that we have in Christ, you have been raised, made holy, made blameless. So it's time to clothe yourself with the character of Christ. Time to clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness, and patience. Ooh. And it's time to reflect your new identity. Your new identity in Christ. You have a transformed life, and we are being transformed into the image of Christ. How many of you love that? Colossians, I'll just read it to you. What I just shared with you is exactly what Colossians 3:12 says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself in Jesus. And I've asked Rebecca, there's this reason we did this ahead of time.